Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shaq, and I just about witnessed the hand of justice come down on all these sinners. Gosh. I'm Wilbur.
Oh, I'm Daniel. I'm not set up yet.
Okay, my bad. Yeah, well, we're back in this shack. We're rearranging the shack today. You know, we're
on the run.
We're on the run. You know, things are moving parts. You know, a lot of ins, lots of outs.
Maybe one day we'll do a shack blooper episode because you have a couple of them already saved from the first attempt at the bug one.
Of the bug one?
Oh. We're on the run in the bus.
Oh. I don't have a clip right here on my phone.
I unmuted us, right? Yep, okay. The roadcaster's 10 feet away.
Yeah, that would have been really bad if it was still muted. A lot of dead air. But yeah, we're back in the shack. We're all set up, ready to go. We're
ready to go, yeah.
Feeling pretty good.
Welcome to this pseudo-archaeology episode.
And I'm your host, Graham Hancock. I'm here with Flint Dibble.
If you call me that one more time, I'm just not posting this episode ever again.
I know it upsets you, and I think that's why it's funny.
Because the problem is, I don't even want to start that. That's towards the end of this episode. Okay. But I'll say it one time real quick. I'm glad you're laughing. This is going to be like a two-hour-long episode. The problem with it is I tend to agree more with Flint.
No, I did too a lot.
I just hate him.
That's bad. It's wrong.
He's just the worst.
He comes off smarmy.
Putting it mild.
Yeah. And
tell everybody what we're talking about.
Oh, we're just going to kind of review.
I'll put the link in below for the episode.
Okay. We're just reviewing the episode of Joe Rogan Experience with Flint Dibble, a modern day archaeologist, and Graham Hancock.
Which, I mean, you know, Chariots, what is it? Chariots of the Gods?
Nope, that's not him. That's
he has books that are so similar titled to that.
No, his is Fingerprints of the Gods.
Yeah.
America Before. And why am I blanking on the middle book?
Doesn't he have a documentary called Chariots of the Gods?
I don't think so.
Or he may have appeared on it, on history.
Chariots of the Gods is by Daniken.
Anyways, let's break down who these people are, I guess, before we even get into this.
Okay. So if you don't know who Graham Hancock is, he wrote Fingerprints of the Gods. He's a big guy investigating a lost civilization.
Civilization, yeah. Culture. Before, during Last Ice Age.
Yep.
Not before Last Ice Age. I misspoke.
No, before. Before the Last Ice Age.
I don't think it was before Last Ice Age. It was during. Last Ice Age was like a 40,000-year period.
Well, I think they existed then.
That's what I'm saying. They existed during the Last Ice Age.
Oh, gotcha.
They weren't before the Last Ice Age.
Okay. Well, the one he's speculating.
Yeah, the one he's talking about could be like 200,000 or 300,000 years before.
Right, yeah.
Or even maybe a couple million.
Which he might even speculate. There's probably life then too, but.
Well, we're not going to talk about what we think he may speculate.
Right, yeah.
We're talking about what he's directly talking about is a culture that main existence was between 13,000 and 11,500 years ago.
Right.
was the big when they were apex culture on the planet,
flourishing.
And you know, he talks about advanced technologies, but and I do say he finally went into it, and that's my biggest fight I've had about Graham Hancock.
Okay,
is he says that term?
Yeah,
and he never defines it.
But he did in this
a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, most he probably ever has.
It's hard to just put a pin on defining what that actually means or is, but
it
it helps.
There's a big difference between indoor plumbing and farming in hover cars.
Well, yeah, true.
That's what I'm saying. Is it like, what are we looking for?
That's why I just heard, you know, someone talk about the Giza pyramid being a power plant, you know, and he's like, it's a what's it called? The electron like generator, mm-hmm. like electron accumulator or something like that. The guy's like, what's that mean? And he's like, well, it means he's like, even your generator at home, it's an electron accumulator. It's what it's doing. It's collecting energy.
Yes.
It's putting it back out. That's what this is doing. It's collecting just a different form of energy.
Just say generator.
Right, exactly.
Was that a scientist saying that, or was that the guy that wrote, scientist or whatever?
I don't know. I don't what you depends on who. I don't know.
As Daniel here, you know, that's one of my biggest pet peeves is scientists and people that use science just saying large words that they do not need.
Right.
Like electron generator and distribute, like, no, it is a generator. It is an electricity generator.
Generator. There you go. Yeah.
That me and you, everybody understands that when you, you know, right, you look and say that to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
But yeah.
Electron accumulator.
Yeah. Yes, he's not wrong. He's something like that.
No, I'm saying it's not wrong.
Right. Yeah.
But you're just saying it so people don't understand you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
that's what I hate about any like scientific community and stuff with that.
But I guess there can be in situations. But
also, scientists do get super excited,
right? Yeah,
and they just maybe use terms. I know Justin from Crystal Corn has done that several times, and his co-host Jay is like, "Well, what's that mean?" And they'll explain it,
right? Like
you get excited, and it's your lingo,
like ungulates.
Ungulates, yes. Yeah.
Ungulates.
Do think the pyramids were. I change all the time. Don't think they're tombs for the pharaohs or anything.
No, like that. That's one thing I don't believe in.
But I'm kind of now fallen into the chemical plant.
Chemical plant.
There's a lot of evidence with like how some of these shafts are and stuff like that. That it makes no like they make no sense for air and stuff, but it would make sense for timed chemical reactions. So basically, these two long shafts end into a vault.
Yeah.
Pour 100 gallons of each of these chemicals. It's like a mass chemical plant to produce stuff from everything from like Baghdad batteries. Which were what looks like they were there in the pyramids also.
Yeah.
But to just stuff that they used for curing meat or to plate gold or, you know, just to, as a mass, they were such a big culture that it makes sense eventually they would make.
I have no idea.
And it's the water pump theory is also another one.
Excuse me. Just burped and caught and farted and all at the same time.
The water pump theory is another one I can get behind too. Cause
what is it?
The water pump
theory. Oh, water pump. Okay.
Because the Nile... When the Nile was right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Forever by the pyramids. So it was the most fertile part of the Nile Valley.
Right. Yeah.
Then it started wandering. And as it was wandering, it became more and more and more desert.
Right.
Like that area was not a desert when that stuff was built.
No. Which is crazy. And how it became a desert is up to who knows.
I think it's because the river moved.
And it turned that whole thing into a desert?
Yeah.
Well, then
no
they say.
No water.
But didn't they say a lot of the sand in the desert isn't originally from there?
They don't. People say that.
Well, I believe it. It was a big flood. Flooded that area. Turned into a beach.
I don't know about that. I'm not saying it's not. There's no
big wave.
There, but the people that have said that the Sahara is what you're talking about, which is not near there.
It's wet, all west of it.
Yeah, they're very far apart.
Right, yeah.
A continent.
Right.
They're on the same, probably, what would that be?
They're in the same continent.
Yeah, they're in the same continent. I'm talking about latitude.
Yeah, I think they're same latitude. Yeah, but
which would be, they're near the equator, so it's very, very hot. Almost all of our deserts are near the equator because it sucks.
No, that's not true.
Then, what are you thinking?
Both poles are deserts.
They're cold deserts, you are right.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
Deserts by precipitation.
What are you thinking? Equator's tropical area.
So once the river moved, they don't get a lot of rain, especially once the river left. Because then the local precipitation disappears.
Well, this is all.
What, I mean, I'm saying this is what we're talking about.
Well, yeah. So that's Graham Hancock.
Flint Dibble.
And then the man on the other is...
Be honest and nice about his credentials. He has a lot.
Yeah, he does. I
I just heard you spout nonsense about him for the last 2 weeks.
I never.
You hate his voice and you love his name.
Both are true. I don't hate his voice. It's just very annoying. I can't even do it. No, annoying. Graham, you know.
That is not his voice.
Okay, I got to find it.
You cannot do it.
I just got to remember the stuff he says. If I could talk about seeds, I could probably find it. You see
when he finally got, we'll talk about that because that's the last 45 minutes of it. When he finally got into what he did, it was very fascinating.
Yeah.
He's very high credentialed in what he does, but the other stuff. Okay. Let's go way back to the beginning. So they both give their kind of start at the beginning of the episode. They both agree to come on, and I'm very impressed that any paleontologist, archaeologist, or anything like that would come on and talk with Graham about it.
Because?
Well, we talked about with the scientific communities before. We've talked about that right. before. They're very not science ran.
Well, yeah, and they're gatekeepers. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing is, I think most scientists are not gatekeepers. The people that are keeping the gate are the people that run the publication companies, the people that run peer review companies,
yeah,
which are not scientists.
Right.
Those are the people that pick and choose whose work gets to go out in the world and whose doesn't.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
So the average day scientist has no say whatsoever in that. They know if I talk about this thing, my work is going nowhere. If I talk about this thing, I'll get published.
Right, yeah.
So that's why I just don't like it when it's put on the scientist. I know a lot of scientists, they do not care. Like, they don't care if you think these ideas.
Yeah.
You know, there are high level, you know, these people like the guy in Egypt.
Zahi Hawass.
Thank you.
Which I think he might be out now. I had to look that up. I don't remember.
But as I'm saying, you know, there are quote unquote scientists that are that level, right? They are the gatekeeper.
100% he is.
But most scientists are just as controlled by the system as people outside of it.
Right, yeah. Okay, I get that.
I'm just trying to be fair to everybody. But there is, so they start talking immediately about how did it really go? They both kind of had 15 minutes to present a basic of their ideas.
Shoot. It might have been longer than that.
That's basically what Joe said.
Each one had their own, I don't know, yeah, 15 minutes. To present their argument.
Flint Dibble's big thing was just talking about, first off is, and I agreed with him a lot on this, that his big thing is he studies cultures through agriculture.
Right.
And talking about selective breeding with also adaptations, wildlife, and plants make to domestication.
Okay.
So like bigger seed heads and stuff like
right, that. Right, yeah. I remember him talking about that.
You know, there was, after a little bit, it was a selected trait we bred for. During the beginning, it wasn't.
Right.
The plants still did it.
Yeah.
And all, you know, but they can go feral again. And how fast, you know, these plants go feral in 100 years. It takes them 1,000 years to become a domestic level plant.
Hmm.
And I thought that was very fascinating to go into. And
his whole
kind of beginning of it was saying that why he thinks Graham's idea is not valid is because if there was a culture during the Ice Age, we have tons of stuff from the last Ice Age. We have tons of stuff from 13,000 years ago. We have tons of stuff from,
Right.
And he says, you know, we had cultures there too, but they were very primitive cultures. We have a lot of their stuff.
Yeah.
So why isn't there agriculture from this mass, you know? And then, you know, they took... So that was his kind of big argument, and I agreed with it.
Yeah.
You know, as a whole, you know, there's a lot of stuff missing. And Graham even kind of agreed to it. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff missing. He's just proposing the idea, what if... You know, and we'll talk about the dogma and archaeology and stuff.
Right,
like
that.
Yeah. That's a big fight towards the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then Graham proposes, you know, that this mega culture just didn't have those same things. And
right.
Which didn't make a lot of sense to me, because if you're that big, agriculture, as far as we know, is what led us to get that big.
Right, yeah.
Because it means that 80% of your day is now not dedicated to securing food.
Like collecting food and hunting food, yeah.
When it was 80% of your life was just trying not to be eaten and find something to eat.
Yeah.
So agriculture is that big step. Once you start planting food,
then you don't have to move. Harvesting food,
you start doing all kinds of cool, crazy stuff.
Right, yeah.
Your schedule
opens
really
up.
Really opens.
Yeah. Got a lot of free time.
So just...
Kind of.
And when Graham said, you know, it just maybe doesn't... That just wasn't as prominent in their culture. And... They had a fight about the seed bank term, and Graham did end up saying it. that it was a seed bank, but he was meaning it as in cultural information, using seed bank as an analogy.
Gotcha.
Not an actual seed bank, but
not a literal.
The article, the quote could be taken either way for Flint's
rebuttal.
Yeah, for Flint's mind, I could see it.
Okay,
where it's like, does he mean an actual literal seed bank? And because that was the big fight they had later.
Oh yeah,
was about that quote.
Yep.
And I agree. If you Flint Dibble's whole thing is seeds.
Literally, he's a seed guy.
Yeah.
Flint Dibble.
Flint
Dibble.
What do you have to say about the little intro?
I think they both presented arguments that were easy to follow.
I think Graham was weaker.
Weaker and
in the beginning. In the first. They both gave 15 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't like the points that Graham would bring up to make his argument.
Here's my thing with Graham is he's getting older.
Yeah.
He's 74.
Yeah.
It's just hard for him to debate young people anymore. Not saying that he's not knowledgeable or he's not losing something. It's energy.
Yeah, it's a lot lacking.
It's
still good for 74. He's
amazing.
Yeah.
As far as his ability to debate and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he's a little slow sometimes on the rebuttal.
Right, yeah.
A little bit slow to make his point.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because he's getting a little older.
That, and he's one of the few people in the world
that really does this.
Yeah,
and I agree with that. You know, and him and his wife and Randall Carlson.
Yeah, yeah.
Have put tons and tons and tons on the line. And Randall's work. I'd love to have Randall on the show.
That'd be awesome.
If I had to pick one of the two, I'd pick Randall.
He has a cool voice, too.
Graham, but.
Oh, wait, what about. Never mind.
I'm talking between those two. Ancient society.
I was thinking another different show that we listen to.
I would definitely pick Randall, just because this giant flood theory and
the younger Dryas impact theory.
I would love to talk.
He has a lot of good evidence. Man, Randall's a Mason.
Huh?
Randall's a Mason.
Is he?
Yeah. He talks about it.
I do remember that one time, episode 6 years ago on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah, talks about being a Mason. So take that what you will. I have no idea.
But yeah, sorry, you were saying Graham was having some weak points.
Some of the arguments he brought up to make his case. The one I don't like is that Yonaguni off of Japan, the islands off Japan.
I hate that one.
Which I can see it both ways, but I just don't like it as a pillar of your argument. Because there's sections that look very man-made that could be man-made. There's little tunnels and stuff that are, but then there's other sections that. Where you told me, the rocks actually fracture at 90-degree angles.
So it's called cleavage.
Right, yeah.
So it's the angle rocks break at is very scientific. Certain rocks and crystals and that stuff, they have certain cleavage angles.
They grow in
that rock patterns. Formation.
Yeah.
Is almost 90-degree angles. So there's a geologist, and I don't like Yonaguni. I think out of all the sites that he has, that he talks about, it's the worst one. To really
Graham?
Look. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I didn't like that he brought that one in particular up.
So for these rocks, this geologist, this Japanese geologist, because he's off of Japan, literally took a chunk of the rock they picked off of the seafloor that's the same rock. And he's like, watch this, but in Japanese.
How's that go?
Hasu.
Oh, yeah. Hey. I have
no idea.
Yeah.
I do not speak Japanese. That would be a language I'd have a lot of fun learning.
That'd be cool.
Takes this rock and just drops it. On the floor of the lab.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, there's YouTube and everything.
Sure you saw that.
Yeah, okay. No. And he's picking up chunks, and there's just tons of chunks. It literally looked like little staircases came out of this rock. Because they'd be right at 90-degree angles, roughly.
Right, yeah,
You know, and then keep in mind this giant rock in the ocean, this rock bed.
Is underwater.
It's all one rock. So it'd be one carved piece if it was a society.
Uh-huh.
Most of it. You know, I say that's roughly all one rock.
I get it. I get what you're saying.
But... It's a lot of 90-degree angles, but a lot of stuff, let's say they are staircases, they go to nowhere.
Yeah, it's just that's
the house frames are tiny and then huge, and then they're inside each other. And
yeah.
That one screams natural formation, especially knowing the rock cleavage point, because it's at the breaker waves. That's why it's so hard to dive, and that's why a lot of archaeologists and geologists haven't done tons of research down there,
it's deadly. Hard.
It's a deadly spot.
Yeah.
The waves come crashing down, and if you watch the film, when I believe it was Graham and his wife diving there, and they talk about the stairwell, and you could see the breaker waves over their head, 10 feet.
Coming,
yeah. It's not a good spot.
No, she said it was dangerous.
But it's also, to my point with that is shows that there's tons of water erosion.
Yeah.
So that's why you probably have all these really weird looking designs, because it's constantly
being pounded by water. By
waves. Yeah. The universal dissolver, this universal of everything. Erosion. And so when these giant rocks break off of this other rock, it's going to leave 90-degree angle marks. Where yeah. It looks like a staircase that goes nowhere. That big turtle thing.
Yeah.
That they say is a turtle.
See, I don't know.
I agree with you. That was a really poor one to pick.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. Like, why not do...
Like, the giant pyramid he has in China. Not China. It's Asia, but...
There's one in China.
The one he went to in his show.
Oh, okay. I never saw the show.
The show is great.
I don't know how I never watched it.
I don't agree with like 80% he says in the show. Like,
yeah.
I don't agree with 80% of what Graham says. I think he's an amazing person for putting he believes what he believes, and that's great. Yeah. And he puts it out there, and he does his research, and he tries to prove it.
Right.
And, you know, that's great for him. I don't have to agree with him. Nobody has to agree with him. You don't have to kill the man over it.
Right, yeah, that too, yeah.
Because it's like, he's 74.
Yeah.
He's been talking about this for 50 years.
Yeah.
Let him talk about it.
Yeah.
Because he sells books. So what?
He's...
I think that's where... we'll talk about that later. I think that's where a lot of these problems come from.
Oh, because he's selling books and Flint's not.
Jealousy is a big thing.
Right, yeah.
He doesn't... Grandpa doesn't have tons of money. He talks about that in this episode.
Yeah.
Where the money for these funding for these things...
But people know his name. And they're probably
literally
mad about that.
Scrape... Like, he talks about... there's documentation for this of like... They pretty much saved up just enough to do their next trip.
Yeah.
And then they'll do whatever. He'll write a book and they'll sell enough just to do the next trip.
Yep. Just keep it going, which is the way to do it.
So that's
it's a passion project, and that's where the good things come from.
We took about enough time to tell the intro of just them just listening to the intro.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So how does it's such a wild ride. It's 4 hours, everybody at home. It's
very long.
And there's about an hour and a half of it that is just garbage.
As far as?
Just what the topic is.
Oh, gotcha, yeah. Well, it's in a lot of back and forth, a lot of, like, not bickering, but, like,
disagreeing. There was bickering there.
There was bickering. Yeah, he said, she said, and then the whole, like, racist
thing, which,
yeah, so dumb.
So, where did they kind of start? What were some of the other spots Graham kind of picked?
Well, they kind of brought up the road, the Bimini Road.
What do you think about the Bimini Road?
I think...
this is one geologist in paleontology... Not paleontology, sorry. Geologist and archaeologists argue about.
Yeah.
Inside the community.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about the Bimini Road?
I think there's some weird rocks down there, and they're in a way that's... I don't think nature probably placed them there.
I personally think it's natural.
What?
I said I personally think it's natural.
Okay. She caught it. Lisa caught it.
I will throw this bottle of whiskey at you. No, because it just reminds me of, like, I'm sure you've seen it down, like, Hocking and stuff like that. These stripes are, like, let's say limestone in the middle of this granite field.
Okay.
So, like, you're driving, you see the mountains that are cut up for the roads.
Yeah.
So you have these big white stripes in the middle of solid granite.
Right, yeah.
And they even start pebbling on the edge because the limestone is so much softer.
Right.
The granite. The granite doesn't care that's being weathered as right. much as...
The limestone does, yeah.
And then how then it goes up the mountain. And have you ever seen this full path?
The Bimini Road?
Yeah.
I have not, no.
So it goes like up this mountain and over the mountain's back and runs along the mountain ridge for a while and stuff like that. To me, I just kind of wonder if it's some kind of seam of some kind of natural like limestone.
Seam.
Oh, that's what you call them.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Of mineral like seam.
Like the, aren't they called, what are those called? I don't remember. Screw it.
But I kind of wonder, those are limestone islands. So I wonder if that rock itself, and I didn't look into this for this episode. I wonder if that rock itself is harder than limestone.
Yeah.
That's why the limestone around it kind of...
Are they called... Is it dikes? Is that what they're called?
No. Dikes are dams.
Dams?
Yeah, it's a type of blocking of water is a dike.
I feel like in geology class in high school, it was like a vertical seam of... I don't know. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know nothing. I know nothing.
I picked up on that. But no, so they talk about the Bimini Road.
I picked up on that.
No, it's... I don't know. But that's the thing. Like, see, we both have different opinions on it. It does not matter.
No,
there's no way to prove either way. And so what? If it is a road, do some more archaeology there. I think that's a big point Graham kind of picks up on. And I get there's no money.
Right.
Archaeologists do not have money. Nobody in this fight has money.
The only time they get money is when it's something they allow them to study or something. I don't know. In my opinion.
Yeah. But they have a fight with the dogma. That's kind of right off the rip.
What do you mean?
It's systemic dogma, which is...
Oh, within archaeology.
Yeah.
Just history in general.
Yeah, and immediately... So, like, what was it? What was the culture they kept talking about at the beginning?
Clovis culture. Which has been disproved here in America. Because archaeology, the mainstream story is Clovis culture people were the first people here in America that developed their own, you know, stone tools that... Because they found, like, a couple arrowheads that had the... I don't know the whole story behind Clovis culture, but that basically they were saying they were the first people here. And that's been disproven, but they still, like Flint did, leans on that argument. It's like, well, Clovis culture people.
No, he didn't lean on it.
Oh, okay.
No, he said, no, it was, he's like, it was disproven in the 90s. And Graham's like, it was not. You don't remember this?
Maybe we're thinking different things then.
No, Clovis culture, you're right. That's what they kept talking about.
But
I'm agreeing that it was still talked about in this last decade.
Yes.
As the main idea.
Yeah, when I was in school, it was still.
Flint was talking about when he was being taught in the 90s in college, that's when it was disproven.
But I thought...
And they brought up articles and saying, like, no, like, see, there's people debunking it there, and there's people debunking it there.
But they still, like, mainstream archaeology still, like, even though there's articles out debunking it, they still regard it as being, like, actual factual.
That's what I'm saying, is Flint saying nobody uses Clovis culture. And Graham showed that everybody still is.
Gotcha. Yes.
That's the dogma.
Now I understand. Now we're on the same page. Okay, yes. Graham showed that they're still using that as.
And Flint was saying, no, they disproved that in
the
90s.
No, they don't. Look,
and his university, his professor may have not.
Right, but everywhere else, 90% of the rest of the world does.
Public education does. Public education's a joke.
Yeah.
I mean.
Which is where, I mean, that's where 99% of everyone in this country learns anything.
Your kids.
Huh?
Homeschool your kids.
You should. I think we need better
collective schooling.
We need better programs to help communities do that. I don't know how you go about doing that, but someone can figure it out.
We'll teach your kids. We'll start the DW conspiracy classroom.
Leave them here. We'll watch them for you. That was from a skit. I don't know, but it was about old folks home. Like, drop your old folks home. Leave them here. We'll watch them for you. That was the tagline right at the end. I don't know. Yeah, we'll homeschool your kids.
So Clovis culture. And then Graham talks about the mammoth out in, was it California that was found by the road crew?
Could be right. I can't remember exactly where.
190-something thousand years.
Yeah, it's old. Yeah.
Human markings. That one I can argue with. And archaeologists argue with it constantly. Because it kind of could be. Because they were digging into it with construction equipment.
Yeah.
And they found it.
Yeah, true.
I kind of think...
They're like, oh, look.
It may have been a jackhammer.
It's like a backhoe marks on this 100,000-year-old mammoth.
I kind of wonder if...
Must have got hit by a backhoe.
They must have had backhoes then.
Yeah.
Move that backhoe out of the way so we can look at this. Yeah. No, I kind of wonder if it was something like that to where it was like just the road crew had done it.
Okay.
And had damaged the mammoth carcass. Not saying there wasn't people. Yeah. I think there was people here back then.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying that particular...
You could make an argument either case. Way, I suppose.
That's why it's still... Paleontologists, archaeologists, both sides of that one argue that constantly.
Yeah.
Whether it was human... Because it was human tools. But was it a jackhammer or a primitive bone axe?
Right. Or how they know there wasn't like some saber-toothed cat that just figured out how to use a bone saw.
One really smart ground sloth.
There you go. It was California, don't you know? After all. Ground sloths used to roam. That's not true.
They were there, but...
Were they? Okay.
It's avocados.
Avocados now. Mm-hmm. And pistachios.
There you go. Do you know they grow underneath the fruit?
What?
Pistachios.
What about them?
They grow underneath the fruit, or am I thinking of a different bean?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a Truebolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals. Save big money at Menards.
They're grown underneath the fruit. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Cashews, I know, dude.
Cashews. It's cashews.
I'm yeah, because cashews aren't a nut. They are a, what's the word?
Fruit?
Nope.
A seed?
Nope. Oh, it's going
to
bother me.
This is, you know, well, we're not talking about anything again.
Well, that's why.
BW has started to really come off the wheels the last couple of weeks.
It's because we're the shack's been bumping around. That's why. They are droops. Sorry.
Ah.
They are droops. Cashews are droops.
Droops.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, cashews. I don't know. The Clovis argument, I think, is a big thing in modern day archaeology because it stops you digging after a certain point.
Oh, for sure.
If I'm not mistaken, is it 26,000 years? It was the old mark for the Clovis culture. So, archaeologists wouldn't dig past the 20,000. The 26,000-year mark in soils here in North America.
Gotcha.
Because the Clovis culture was saying, like, there's no people here before that. So as an archaeologist, there's no point in digging past that.
Yeah, no, actually, it's funny enough. It only lasted, Clovis culture, from 11,500 years ago to 10,800 BCE.
So they don't dig past, they don't dig into the actual Ice Age.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Funny, like, line to draw there. Yep. They existed only at this time. Wasn't it
11,600 years ago was when the event happened?
Yes.
Okay. So that is interesting.
100 years after that.
Forever, Clovis culture, why it was so damaging to archaeology. And this is one point I do agree with Graham. One point why I do agree with Graham is there's a raccoon in the studio. We got digging through the trash.
We got to seal up this track.
Give me that freaking baseball bat. You ready to see the hand of power again?
Yeah, the hand of doom.
The whiskey bottle of damage.
Ooh.
Anyways, what was I saying? Oh, no, why it's so damaging to archaeology as a whole is because, not because, let's say, the average archaeologist digging didn't want to dig past 11,500, there's very little funding, and the budget for it would not allow the digging.
And then you have to rewrite all those books.
Well, that's on the other side. I'm talking about for, like, why it's so damaging for funding and stuff like that.
Oh, gotcha.
Because it takes so much more permitting, so much more money to go any deeper than X, whatever X feet that ended up being in your area.
Right, yeah.
So, like, Oak Island, you could say whatever you want about the TV show.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want. I enjoy it thoroughly because it shows a lot of that process to the public that a lot of them don't get to see. Like, there are so many, like, different types of permitting.
Just to keep going deeper?
Well, sometimes it's just within half a foot.
Really?
So they had to stop digging up a dam because the hole they were digging was more than 4x4 than 8. So even though they wanted to go 4x4 and 8.5, it was a mining permit then.
Wow.
So it's a large project. That's the difference, the definition difference between a small project and a large project in Nova Scotia.
Is this why you can't just dig a deep hole in your backyard? Like,
there's other reasons, because that girl that did it, you know, she was damaging her neighbor's houses. And
where was that again?
I don't remember.
I remember that story, but... And yeah, whatever.
She kept saying she was an engineer.
Yeah.
And she was a software engineer.
Yeah. Hey, it's an engineer.
Yeah.
That's
like calling a civil engineer to fix your computer.
Wait, exactly. I was just going to say that. You know, did you know that there's a hierarchy in the engineering world?
Yes, but let's...
All right.
Let's hop back. So, yeah, the Clovis culture thing, why it was so damaging, and Graham makes that point several times, is Virginia. There you go. Why it's so damaging to archaeology as a whole, and, you know, whatever you want to say, pseudo-archaeology, whatever you want to call what Graham does. And I wouldn't call it pseudo-archaeology, but I wouldn't call it archaeology.
This is just history.
It's research. It's private research. It's demeaning to call it pseudo-archaeology.
Right.
And it's unprofessional to call it archaeology, because he's not an archaeologist.
I guess so. Not by their definition of that.
Not by the definition of archaeologist. Yeah. You know, Graham is his own, he has his own type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that, you know, it's really just a...
like a historian researcher.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I wouldn't call him that either, personally, but doesn't mean he's wrong. Like, doesn't mean he shouldn't keep doing what he's doing and try to prove what he believes.
Well, what would you call him?
Graham Hancock.
The
man known as Graham.
Oh, come on. It's like the artist formerly known as Prince.
Artist formerly known as Prince. No, so yeah, that's why it was so damaging. It's just because it stopped people from digging, and then it stopped permitting from allowing these processes to go deeper.
Right.
So they couldn't even accidentally find other stuff.
Okay.
Because it was just so hardcore that you do not dig past this level.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't, and I'm not saying that's a conspiracy to protect the giants that used to live here in North America or whatever, but I'm saying that as far as an average, everyday paleontologist, they didn't know any conspiracy. It was the permits that they were allowed to get
right,
due to that thought.
Right.
Because their money was so tight, they do not want to give them an extra $10,000 to go the whole site another foot.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. That's a lot.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
It's tons of money, especially when you start looking at the mega structures, like in Illinois.
The big giant. Yeah. Was it a pyramid?
No, it was a city.
Just a big city, okay.
Yeah, because it was a step city.
Forget the name of it.
It's right there in Kansas City.
Didn't they, then they speculate that was bigger than, or how many people supposedly could have lived there?
Yeah, and it probably ate itself to death.
Because they used up all the resources?
Yeah, because there was, like, you could see the trees. There was a giant gap in trees in that area for, like, 100 miles. They cut down every tree, so there was no animals.
Gotcha, yeah. They had nowhere to live.
So all these hunters and gatherers that were going out to get more food just started staying where the food was.
So you think that's where you'd think there'd be farming or some... Where's Flint seeds there?
There wasn't. That's why.
Oh.
No, so, yeah, that's Clovis culture. I know we talked about it for a minute. What was kind of the next thing they really get into?
Oh, you like the timeline of their... Well, I think the roughly, next thing they really got into, like, hour two was about the whole...
The racist thing.
The racist thing.
And we can talk about that. So, Graham's just like... Right, and he waited. I was proud of Graham for waiting.
Didn't just jump right off.
Yeah, let him get into like some actual conversation for a couple hours.
Yeah.
I guess the dogma thing we really didn't finish up. So that was just the big fight. Is as Flint was saying, there was no dogma. There's no dogma.
Oh, right, right.
And Graham's like, "What do you mean? There's no dogma?" And for everybody at home, dogma roughly in this version just means a stigma of an idea in this community that doesn't allow further research past it. So okay. It's just kind of like a stalemate or a stagnant. The community goes stagnant because of these ideas.
Right, yeah.
You're not allowed to look past
the Clovis culture. And here's the dictionary definition of dogma.
Was that close?
Yeah. A principle or set of principles laid down by an authority as incontrovertibly. Why can't I say that word? Incontrovertibly. Is that how you say it?
Sure.
You're true.
Asking me?
As gosh, I can say it, but when I try to read it, everything just goes dumb. I can't say it. True. It's laid down by an authority that cannot be disproven as true, is what dogma is.
Okay. There
a you set go. Of ideas or principles.
And I think Graham did a good job of saying, like, because Jamie, that by the end of it, they both kept saying, "Jamie, pull this up. Jamie, pull this."
Oh, yeah. Jamie, can I have the HDMI? Jamie, can I have? Yeah.
Poor Graham. And that was another thing. Started feeling bad for Graham towards the end of it because he's just like,
I guess
technology is starting to move past him. And he normally kept up on it pretty good.
Yeah. It's hard to keep up with, though. Even for me.
I am very not technologically advanced.
Me either.
But poor Graham, just like, and he's like, "I can airdrop it to you." And you know he talked to his granddaughter one day, and his granddaughter taught him how to airdrop. Because he started airdropping stuff everything. To Jamie.
Yeah.
And he just, because there's just a couple buttons on the equipment they were using to airdrop something.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. But
it just made me laugh. Is this because that's such a like a contrary, like,
I don't even
advanced thing?
I don't even know how to airdrop.
I don't know how to do them, but Lisa sends me airdrops all the time, and it just shows up on my phone.
Yeah, it's like, "You want to accept this?" Yes. Here's the Wi-Fi. Airdrop it to you.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you think about the dogma?
I mean, I think it's 100% real. It's a problem. But I guess I just never understood why archaeologists as a whole don't challenge it ever. Like, ever. From what I've noticed. I don't know. I don't like it. And well, then when guys do, when guys do challenge it, like Graham, they get immediately like
dead. Or not dead as in murdered, dead as in Their career's
over. Dead, yeah.
Well, that's what we talked about with the scientific community, is not ran by scientists.
Right, yeah.
It is ran by people that run publishing companies, people that run universities, people that run the funding. They're almost always...
devil worshippers.
Some of them are, but they're almost always, like, not HR people, but, like, business manager people.
Right, yeah. Like,
so they have no idea about the science.
Status quo people.
They have to sell this stuff at the end of the products.
Right.
You know, these universities, these people that are... teaching, they're making products for these universities to sell.
Right.
And the benefit is they get to work in their field.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, yeah. No,
it's
wrong.
Like it. So I'm just saying, it's not that these paleontologists or stuff, you know, they don't want to speak out because they don't lose their job.
Right, yeah. Need that cabbage. Gotta put that cabbage in that wallet.
Man, this is like drinking cake.
Still with that bottle, eh? I thought we threw that out last week on our last episode.
I've been drinking it for a long time.
It's a long, big bottle.
It's a big bottle of booze.
But, all right, but yeah, the dogma, all that. Then it gets into the white supremacy stuff. Which,
okay, well, I think it's funny how Graham brought it up and immediately what Flint does.
What's he do?
You don't remember?
I don't know.
Made me watch this four-hour episode.
I watched it all, but it was 4 hours, and I watched it 2 weeks ago.
I take it all in. What I got lost in was when they started naming all these places. Because they were doing it so fast.
Yeah.
And I was trying to Google along with them.
Yeah.
And
oh, it was just, and if you don't already know, good luck.
Yeah. That tool I could never find again.
Yeah. We tried looking it up. I don't remember the name of it, but.
It was something hammer.
Yeah. If we looked it up, we could probably find it really fast. I can remember everything else about it, but I could not remember what the heck.
One side looks like a hammer and one side looks like a rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, even to that whole thing, like with Graham, it's almost like he created a whole argument around that one object. You know what I mean? And Flint had a very good, like, reasoning against it.
What did he say? I don't remember.
Basically, how he said it just doesn't look like a tool one. And you flip it over, like you said, and the other side just looks like a rock. And two, he was saying, like, well, if this is a tool, we've never found any other tool that like even it. Remotely looks yeah. like this.
Which, normally, you find... groups of these things.
Something that another one somewhere, mm-hmm. but there wasn't, and I was like, that makes sense to me. I agreed with him on that, so I don't know why you'd build an argument around one thing that kind of, which it does look hand shaping, but
it's a rock. For you're gonna what? Find weird rocks.
For what though? Yeah,
I mean, how many rocks do you find that look like Ohio?
What if it was like an extra piece they cut off, and that was just like the excess that just they lopped off, you know, and then you just left with this weird looking piece. I don't know.
I didn't see it, so I can't say whether I think it's a rock or if I think it's a tool.
Or a hammer. I can't even remember what he speculated the tool was even used for, but...
They called it a hammer. I don't know if it's because it kind of resembled a hammer.
Yeah.
They kept calling it a hammer because it has two 90-degree angles, like a hammer on a stem.
Right, yeah. I just don't know. It's hard telling.
Yeah. So this racist thing. So Graham brings it up.
Yeah, what's Flint do?
First, Graham's like, I do want to make this point that I do think it's time we bring this up. But you called me, you know, this is what you said in this article, and Jamie brought it up. And Flint just freaks out. He's like, I never called you a racist. I never called you a white supremacist. And this is finally when the first time, like, Joe didn't talk for, like, the first 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I was surprised with Joe.
I think he's listening. I think he's a really good moderator.
Yeah, no, it's just... But there were some times I think that it should have been, the course should have been reset.
What do you mean?
Put them back on course before this.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Anyways, so he's just like, I didn't say that. And he's like, so I can't remember, it wasn't the New York Times, but it was some really big name magazine.
Guardian or something.
Guardian. It was the Guardian, I think. I don't remember. It was one of those. So you know the name of the magazine.
Right.
And basically, he did not call, and Graham even called him slimy, or no, slick.
Slippery.
Slippery.
With his words, yeah.
You're very slippery with your words, because in the same sentence, he's like, basically, he did not call Graham a white supremacist. He said, Graham's ideas in these support the workings of white supremacists and Nazis.
Yep.
So he did not call Graham a white supremacist or a Nazi. But he did say his work supports the ideas of white supremacists and Nazis.
Right.
So he forever lumped them together.
Yep.
And they have he has a whole YouTube channel.
Flint does?
Yeah, about Graham Hancock.
Really?
Roughly. It's not about Graham Hancock, but man, it seems like it's about Graham.
Well, you know,
because it's him and this other guy that they talk about that he used the other guy's work, the other name he brings
up. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy that researched.
It's him. It's him. They do the YouTube channel together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they talk crap about Graham. And I was looking it up. And they've been doing it for years.
Wow.
Like 2 or 3 years.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. And so
Flint
Graham
Dibble.
Brings that up is that you have a. Because he's like, I have a small YouTube channel. He's like, yeah, you got a relatively small YouTube channel, but every third episode is just about how evil I am as a human.
Where's the list come from?
He has a little bit of a list.
Does he?
Not a list. I don't know what you call that, like a mumble.
Yeah, I guess so. Just a, I don't know. It's just funny. It's a small YouTube channel. It's just a small YouTube channel. Jeez.
It's just how he sounds in my head, I guess. Mr. Schlave.
Yeah. He does sound like a South Park character.
He is a South Park character. Everybody look him up. He looks like somebody found a really thin bear.
My favorite comment
and put him in a hat and put him on Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I can see that.
A very thin bear.
There's two comments on the YouTube channel on that episode. The first one that I saw, it was like
yours?
The top one. No, it wasn't mine. It was hilarious, though. It just says Flint Dibble is a living South Park character. That was all the comment was. And it had like tons of light because it's hilarious. But the second one was...
he is a kid to have a
this, the second one cracked me up, too. It says, this just is a big argument about who's better, some guy's wife or some guy's dad.
Yes, Graham did bring up his wife a lot.
And Flint brought up his dad constantly. Oh, my dad found this.
He brought up his dad right at the beginning, like for the beginning forever, yeah. And then right at the end forever.
Yeah.
He did leave his dad out for a big chunk of the middle.
I get why both of them do it. Like, you're proud of
your family. Graham's wife did tons of the research, too, with Graham. And
Flint's went there with him,
photographed
with him.
Dad is a famous, like a real
really big
A-star archaeologist.
Yeah. And he named his sons Chip and Flint. He has a brother named Chip.
Oh, rocks?
Chip and Flint.
He named him after rocks? Yeah. He's not a geologist.
And basically, you're digging through rocks to get to the stuff.
Yeah, but see, geologists want the rocks. They don't want the stuff.
Oh, well.
Archaeologists want the stuff, not the rocks.
Chip and Flint.
I don't think archaeologists dig through rocks.
Yeah, Chip and Dale. He couldn't hang with the Dale.
I don't think archaeologists dig through rocks.
They have to.
They dig through dirt. Paleontologists dig the rocks.
No.
See, paleontologists are the funnest one of the group because they're throwing all the rocks and all these human bones out of the way to get to the dinosaurs and the mammoths.
Yeah, well.
They're like, what is that, a human skull? Get rid of that.
We don't need this here.
Your dog, take this.
And then Flint sees it. Human skull, but this was down below the 10,000 year line.
Don't worry,
line.
Flint, your seeds are over there in a pile.
Throw it out. Oh, seeds. Give it. I don't know.
Go put them in the flashing barrel thing.
What's that?
They talked about it at the end. They basically put all the dirt into this giant barrel that sloshes and sloshes and sloshes, and the seeds float up to the top.
Oh, really?
That's how they find the seed. It was very fascinating.
That's pretty cool.
I was making fun of it, but it was very interesting device that somebody came up with, and that was what he did in grad school, is he just ran this device.
Nice. Flint.
I love the seeds. No, so he calls him a racist in this article. It doesn't call him a racist, calls him a racist. And what Graham very elegantly said, you forever roped me in, and he's like, no, I was just trying to make sure you are better. You use non-racist sources.
Away from that stuff.
Graham, for like, Quetzalcoatl was the perfect example that Flint pulled out. Is that Graham's idea of Quetzalcoatl being a bearded, light-skinned man came after, from all intents and purposes, the conquistadors were there.
Yeah.
So, of course, you're going to take one of the godheads if you're invading and destroying these people. You're going to take, and cultures did it forever.
Make them look like you.
You're going to make them look like you.
Yeah.
And the people that lived agreed because they were murdering so many people so fast in Central and South America.
Yeah.
That the people were like, Quetzalcoatl look like you. Yeah, you're right. I remember that now.
And where I stand on it is we weren't there. We don't know. We don't know.
No, but you can find the early depictions. Quetzalcoatl did not have a beard.
Yeah.
And that was one of the Graham said in that documentary series, is a bearded like a ginger.
Yeah.
Like a very light-skinned.
But see,
so that's, I guess, where this thing with the roping them in with white supremacist and, saying that white people essentially taught all these cultures how to do everything.
Which I don't believe that. And I don't even know if Graham doesn't believe that.
Graham does not believe that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But the way that he does say things sometimes... does point to those ideas.
I guess if you want those ideas to be
brought up. No, because he was talking about in that documentary.
Yeah.
all these, this culture had the same godhead.
Gotcha.
Across the world at this time. And it was his culture. He talked about survived the last ice age, barely, yeah, spreading out and reintegrating into society.
Yeah.
And bringing them up to different technological levels. So he just happened to make them all white. And that one, in that, and I don't think he cares that they're all white or cares that they're all
right,
black,
yeah,
or all, yeah, whatever. But, you know, he did pick that.
Right.
And some of the evidence he picked was, as far as like the Quetzalcoatl was a big one, is, you know, you can see direct scars in the culture to where before the Spanish got there.
What it was like.
Yeah. He looked like them. Like, he looked like, Quetzalcoatl looked like the natives of Central and South America.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have a beard. Like, he had a normal, like, that was one
what
of
if
the
they changed it?
Yeah, well, the ones that were left,
they're like, what's this?
Do you know how the gold thing, the city of, well, El Dorado, you know, how it got started, uh-uh, some of it?
Oh, had, yes, yes. The Spanish said, like, the, like, city of gold over there.
Yeah, because they literally burnt down hundreds of villages and, yeah, took every gold and filled the bow of one ship.
Yeah.
And said it's just painted over there, so the kings and stuff were like, we'll go get more.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. So then they start burning all these priests and all these kings and leaders over there, like, where's the gold? You took it already.
I don't know. History is bad.
No, I mean, humans have done bad things to humans since
the dawn
Adam
of time.
And, or not Adam and Eve, since their kids.
Oh, Cain and Abel?
Yeah.
Yeah, true. What was I going to say about...
Oh, the racist thing. So yeah, he made his whole thing. Career, like, so not his whole career, but his in-the-media career.
Right, yeah.
Off of essentially calling Graham a pseudoscientist. And he does not ever say he's a racist. I want to make that very clear.
He just lumps him.
But he does do a hell of a job of lumping Graham in with every undesirable group to be lumped in with.
Yep. Oh, yeah. But you're not one of them.
So
you're just act and perform just like one of them in my mind.
Joe actually gets mad at Flint for just a second. The whole thing, he only gets mad at him kind of one time. And he's like... Because Flint's like, I didn't say that, Graham. I never said that.
And Joe's like,
I never said that.
So
he's like, that quote's not real.
Because
Jamie has it pulled up on the screen. And he's pointing at it. So he's like, that quote's not real. He's like, it's out of context. And he's like, you never got a hold of them to fix that? You have the right.
Like, well, he said, he's like, well, not that. He's like, that's not in quotes there. And he's like, that's actually quoting another article. He's like, yeah, but you said it in the other article. Well, then you said what you said, yeah.
Yeah, just like, you never got a hold of them to fix any of that?
That's not my job.
Yeah, and he did say that.
Something like that, to that effect, yeah. I don't know. I was going to make the point, though, earlier that, like, where things have been, like, they, you know, they said they found, Akhenaten, and what's the three, like, Egyptian kings, their bodies they found, you know, the... In the full-on tombs.
Tutankhamun.
Why does that sound weird? Tutankhamun?
Tutankhamun Sedamun was his full name.
Oh.
I know that because there was a Discovery Kids show about him.
So there was that one. King Tut.
King Tut.
And,
well, that's Tutankhamun Sedamun.
But you know what color his hair was?
What, was it red?
It was red.
Well, he was also... He had one leg shorter than the other. He had a pot belly. He was very inbred.
It wasn't just him, though. There was multiple that were...
Extremely inbred.
But they still had red hair. I mean, which ain't really a trait of, like, I don't know. It's weird.
It depends on what culture. It can pop up.
Yeah, okay, especially, it's popped up all over the world.
I mean, depends. I'm just talking about it as an inbred culture, like an inbred trait.
Gotcha.
Having red pigments.
Supposedly, like Genghis Khan, he had red hair and green eyes, supposedly. Like, I don't know.
But who wrote that? That's what I'm saying.
It's hard saying. Like, I don't know. That's what the depictions
of him were. Have you ever seen King Tut's body? Do you know he has red hair?
Yes, the photos were, it was red.
But how do you know that's his body and not some white supremacist that rewrote history?
Okay, see, Flint, is this where you get the name?
I'm just saying, but you said that thing earlier that we don't know, right?
Right, exactly, we don't know, but they'll
so
still
say
force...
some people say had green hair and doesn't...
The dogma is still put, like you said earlier, dogma is still, you're taught these certain things that this is what it was, this is how it was, when it's... We weren't really there.
What do you think about him calling Graham a racist in more words than that?
I think he 100% was. And it's just, like Graham said, slippery way of saying it without saying it. And they all do it. It's like when Donald Trump says, oh, I'm not saying she was, or people are saying, you know, she's awful. I'm not saying it, but people are saying it. I would never call her a fat pig, but people are saying it. That's, you know what I mean? He never said it, but people are saying it, and he'll just repeat it over and over. But he'll say, I never said it. It's the same thing. So, Flint Dibble. I bet that's one thing he would not like to be associated with.
Is what?
Being compared to Trump.
Oh, you should do it. You should go to one of his live streams one of these days and just...
I'm not saying Graham's a white supremacist. People are saying it. Is work saying it? I never said it. I just quoted other people that said it.
So what was some of the other places they talked about? What was the one that Graham was diving through that Joe was talking about? And like, see, it looked like there's pillars there, and some of it looked man-made, some of it looked natural.
Where he was diving? And
was
not
it India?
Not the Yonaguni?
No, it was another one.
Oh, gosh.
It was the same time the hammer came up.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Now I'm going to say it wrong. It was in Indonesia. It was that Padam.
What'd I say?
It's around India.
Okay.
Yeah, you're in the right area. I think Indonesia is more like the islands.
Yeah, no, Indonesia.
What's it? Padam. Oh, I'm just. The names are hard to remember when it's not your. What's it called?
Language?
Yeah. But like a lot of the places in like South America, like Sacsayhuaman, they talked about that a little bit.
They talked about Göbekli Tepe too.
Göbekli Tepe a lot. And then the other one that was supposedly older that they talked about just got discovered.
And they were talking about that was when Graham used, I think it was Göbekli Tepe, against Flint's main point about the seeds.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of seed talk. Bless you. There was a lot of seed talk.
Oh, a lot of seed talk. Which
is his expertise.
Yes.
So and you expect.
That's what when I wanted to hear him talk, like I liked listening to
that. The last 45 minutes when he just talked about seeds?
It was intriguing. It was, and the problem is the whole part before it is how can I trust this guy and presenting this work? I don't know.
What was the places he'd never been that he was trying to talk about?
That Flint's never been?
That was a funny part during this thing.
It was Sacsayhuaman was one of them He was talking about because he was comparing. That's when they were talking about the stones in Yonaguni that looked similar to Sacsayhuaman.
No, Graham, I've never been.
Yeah.
You think I have to be to these places to talk about them? And Graham's like, yes, in the level you are trying to talk about them, you need to be there. I've talked to the curator of the park. Like,
and I agree with Graham on that, 100%.
Yeah, no, you're looking at pictures.
Exactly.
And like they showed with that hammer.
Selected pictures.
Yeah, so they showed with that hammer. Like,
yeah.
There's these pictures that look like a rock, and there's these pictures that look like a hammer. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So you're talking, like, yeah.
I would love to know how they built, like, gosh.
Hammers?
Like, no. Cities like Sacsayhuaman. Do you know what I'm talking? You know what that is? Or you would know if you've seen the pictures. It's got the like it's zigzag, giant, huge rocks stacked together. But and then it goes up.
Yes, I do know. Yes,
and then it goes into the city. That's just like the outside.
Isn't that
too.
In China?
No, that's South America.
That's South America.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking of one in China that has all the. Look, they thought it was a pile of rocks forever until they realized it was not quite a pyramid because it wasn't a pyramid. They realized all the rocks were actually interlocking. There's a forest on top of it.
Hmm. In China?
I think it was. Maybe not China. It was Asia in my head. But
yeah.
Because all the people, they were Asian, so.
Right. And you're,
you know.
It
may have been Vietnam.
Could have been.
Now that I think about it, because I think. Because it was after Grandpa died that series came out, but I was like, I wish I could ask Grandpa about that.
Yeah.
And I think it was Vietnam.
I wish I could know what you're talking about. A lot of this, I know all these places. It's just there's so many. It's hard to.
But they couldn't. It was one of these fights where they couldn't decide if it was a mountain they hollowed out, which was common in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Vietnam, or it was built up to look like a mountain.
Right. Yeah.
They don't know. Like it was one of the big fights. It's I kind of think it was a hollowed out mountain.
Yeah.
Specifically because of Vietnam, if I'm remembering it right, Vietnamese have done that forever.
Yeah.
Because they've been invaded forever.
Forever. Yeah.
So.
What's there? Different episode.
Different episode.
Yeah.
Well, we were only there because the French wanted it because the French claimed every small country.
Right. Yeah. But like, what was so special about? I don't
Nothing.
Know. Exactly. I don't know. It was just death. It was all another blood sacrifice to Moloch.
Watch Top Gear and just see how many places they go to. There are these little weird places around the world, and the French own it.
Oh, I believe that.
And
I mean, why war over it other than just murdering a lot of?
It.
Huh?
The French wanted it.
Well, right, but
they were our allies.
So we took it from the rebels that live there? Or you mean the people that were indigenous to that area?
The people that, it was their home?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's why we were there.
Yeah, exactly. Blood.
It was the French. French wanted our help.
The French wanted their blood. Or we did. I don't know.
And we still had this, not the Civil War, the Revolutionary War debt to the French.
I see. French and Indian War. Didn't they fight together?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little different.
It was very different. No, that was... They were the final.
Okay, Flint Dibble, Graham Hancock.
No, so yeah, this whole thing with, I don't know, the racist idea, but no. So the last 45 minutes, I don't know. They before that they got into these fights just about Flint being places, and every time they showed pictures, like this didn't look at all like nope.
That was his only Graham.
No, it went like this. I was practicing because okay. I want to use it for you on shows. No,
I don't see it.
Nope, you can't say anything after it for a minute.
Oh.
You just could go.
Oh.
No. And there has to be dead air for a second.
And then in your head, Graham's like thinking, why?
Like, yeah, well, yeah, that's what the point is. You have to have dead air.
Yeah.
You don't give an answer.
No, right, exactly.
No.
And then his only answer is.
You gotta make your head like a frog. Like, make your mouth as wide. Go, no.
And then say, I just don't see anything that supports
it. It's not just a rock.
It's not.
What are you guys looking at? It's a rock.
Yeah, I don't see it. No.
No. No, so that constant
poor Flint.
Bickering.
But yeah, I didn't like
poor
that.
Poor Flint.
Yeah, poor Flint.
The problem is he had good points for a lot of the thing.
They both did. That's the thing. They both had good points.
I don't ever think Graham has been, because Graham's whole premise is just look into it. Like,
oh, right,
this whole
right,
thing
right,
is
right.
Just like,
no, I'm
there's
saying,
no proof for this culture he's talking about.
Yeah.
And he admits to that several times, especially in this episode. Oh, I did leave something out. I do remember what I wanted to say. But his Netflix series that was never mentioned aliens.
Right.
And one of the arguments that, one of the things that Flint talked about his series, and this is why it got canceled. When Graham says canceled, it might as well be canceled. It got reclassified as fantasy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's basically, like, to me, it's the same thing as canceling it.
Yeah, because you're...
We had all these archaeologists come on, all these people that have devoted their lives, so now you want them all to go down with me.
Yeah.
And say fantasy.
Right, yeah. It devalues everything.
Everything, everything. Yeah. And because there's tons of people, like, from Mexico that came on and talked about that giant pyramid in the middle of Mexico.
Yeah.
It didn't look like a pyramid until they started realizing this town, this city, is built on a pyramid.
Yeah.
A city? It's not like a tall pyramid like you think of Giza or, you know, it's a giant step pyramid.
Yeah, like a, like a ziggurat. No, not quite like that.
Like a step pyramid. I think that's, South America had tons of step pyramids.
Yeah, they did.
Central South America.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just to a scale that was ungodly big.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, like I said, a whole city was on top of it, and the church was on the apex of it. And then they found a hole underneath the church, and I realized, oh, no, this is tunnels built in this mountain. Oh, this mountain's a man-made construct. Anyways, but no, just so that was the big fight. And in Flint's work, and he's like, you think I'm that powerful, Graham? You think, no, you're not that powerful. But you putting that out there, and you kept dogging and dogging and dogging, and Netflix got scared, and they're that powerful.
Yeah.
And they changed everything.
Right, yep.
But, and then so is seed talk, and that was the big thing, is just saying there's no seeds, there's no agriculture, and I agree that there would be some, the culture that he's talking about, the scale it is, couldn't exist
without agriculture. Yeah.
But if you listen to Cryptids of Corn episode that they did about moving islands, there's that talk that maybe they had a gigantic island culture.
Yes, that's, and where are you going to find the evidence
like
of that?
Like a moving island, like a man-made island that floats around.
Giant raft. City raft.
Happens to the best of us.
I'd do it. I'd live out in the middle of the ocean on a giant city raft.
My thing I couldn't figure it out is how they could do it without it, like, blowing apart in, like, big storms. You'd have to have really good, like, advanced knowledge of storms. Because you just have to avoid the storms.
Avoid them, yeah. Maybe it's just a big, like, dome, like a snow globe over it.
They had to have storm beetles.
Storm beetles. See, maybe they did.
Weather beetles.
Those were in the very center of the raft. It's a very integral part of the structure. The whole raft was made of storm beetles. The whole thing was. They're very buoyant. But seed talk, yeah. I mean, it ended with seed talk. I mean, all in all, the whole debate for a 4-hour long episode, it a lot of great things were brought up. It kept my attention. But I don't know if I'm hoping something was solved from it. I hope it does leap things forward as far as both sides communicating or breaking down the dogma. But I'm afraid it's not going to happen at all. Because as we just found right before we started this episode, I found that article that Flint Dibble wrote about debating, and he even wrote in the headline, pseudo-archaeologist.
Oh, that thing.
Graham Hancock. So, clear. I don't think Flint's mind has changed at all whatsoever, which is unfortunate. You know, I think it would be better for him and for society as a whole if he were just a little more open and accepting and, like, pursuing some of these ideas. The thing I don't like is if you're going to, like, discredit an idea, prove it false. Prove it false. But all you got to do is prove it false.
For Graham's idea, the way he puts it out there, it's impossible to prove false because he puts nothing out there as an incredible detail for this culture. And he talks about it in this episode. No, there's not really proof for it, but there's, you know, the lack of proof, whatever, you know, just this whole thing.
Yeah.
He talks about, he has an idea.
Right.
And it just, I don't know. I don't like the way Graham does that. Because I can say anything. I think there was a dinosaur culture at the end of the Jurassic
expansion. You do say this.
But there's no point. There's no proof. There's no nothing. Like, there's, so I'm not going to go out and fight a bunch of paleontologists about it. That they have tons and tons of stuff for their side. My idea is just an idea.
Right, yeah.
There's nothing attached to it. And a lot of Graham's super culture stuff, there's nothing there.
Well, I think what points at something, though, is human origin, where we, you know, where we come from.
The big fight they had in this episode, and Flint was the perfect person for this fight, was about agriculture. Talking about, it wasn't Göbekli Tepe. It was one of these
sites. It was another one like that.
It said that agriculture started, Graham's always said it, and he said it, I've heard him say it in other previous documentaries or TV shows or whatever, talking about agriculture started there.
Right, but that, in his defense, that was the oldest spot we had discovered up to that point.
Yeah.
Now we've discovered a new one.
That's what I'm saying, but there's tons of them, and agriculture spread up, like popped up many times, many different places.
Right, yeah.
And that's what Flint does.
Right.
And prove, you know, shows this, and, you know, so that's what I'm saying, that I agree that Grant, you know, that there's tons of dogmas in archaeology and stuff like that, but his idea of this culture is just an idea.
Yeah.
There's no strings to it. There's no piece of evidence you can really point out. Like we talked about with the Yonaguni off of Japan.
Yeah.
Like, that's just rocks.
Yeah, that's not a good example.
That's what I'm saying, is that, and that's what he started with.
Yeah, that's not a good example.
So when you're lumping that in to other things, it waters everything down.
He should have started with, like, Puma Punku or something.
I don't know which one that is.
Those are the big H-shaped blocks that, like, interlock together, but they're, like,
really tight.
No, because they're not even really put together anymore, but they can show, they showed how they would slide together. They're just kind of set off to the side now and still stacked, like, along each other from the photos I've seen and stuff. But there's a lot of anomalies with them, just the way they're... It's really hard rock, one. Like, really, really hard. I forget the... is it andesite, maybe? Is that a rock? Does it sound right? Wood. But it was cut out of that, so it's really hard, difficult stone to cut. It's the site's super, like, really old. Just the way they're cut, and then the fact that they all interlock with each other is pretty astounding, and the rocks are big. And then the weirdest thing, and there's a lot of magnetic anomalies with the rocks. Like, you can hold, like, a compass down between some of the cuts, and the thing will just start going nuts. Just weird stuff. Weird is that our typical, you know, history of human history doesn't quite do a good job at all of explaining, at all.
And I am not saying there's...
Yeah.
Not tons of anomalies, and I do think the time scale is wrong.
On a lot right,
of
stuff. Yeah.
But for Graham's idea of this global culture or whichever thing you want to put, there's just nothing to it as far as what he's put forward.
Well, I think there's evidence for it as, like, an after effect, but as far as physical evidence.
Like, he talks about pyramids, for example, how they're on most of the continents.
Huh?
They are so different. They're called their construction.
Right.
to call their construction by one group is, to me, a little ridiculous.
Right.
The pyramids of South America are built so differently than the pyramids of Egypt, than the pyramids of China, mm-hmm. of Asia, the pyramid-like structures in Australia. Like, they're different cultures. So I agree that they are rocks stacked up in similar shapes.
Yeah.
But there's only so much...
There's some that overlap. Like, some of the stuff in South America matches. It is the exact same style in, like, Egypt. Like, as far as the rocks. Some of them are, like, you know, square, straight rock, you know, cut rocks. Some of them are more, like, pillowy, where it looks like, you know, they're kind of mushed together. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As far as... And there's, like, some in Egypt, the Great Pyramids, you know, a lot of those rocks have been blown off or right. torn no, off or whatever, but...
I mean, Napoleon was down there with cannon just shooting at all that yeah. stuff for a couple of years.
And at the very base of it, where some of the original rocks still are, is, like, those pillowy-looking ones that are in South America. And then there's some in South America that are built, like, the Step Pyramids, and those are over in, like, India, built the exact same way. So I think each... To me, it almost seems like if it were, like, a global civilization, it does seem like maybe people did go around and spread knowledge, but it's the people in the local areas that kind of took that and did things in their own style and their own ways.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you can't prove it, though.
Right.
So he doesn't have, in all this stuff I've ever watched.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he doesn't prove that ancient cultures are much more advanced than people like to think.
Right.
I think there is that.
Right.
But this culture that taught the world after the cataclysm at the end of the last ice age.
Yeah.
We have nothing for.
Yeah. Well, at least.
Nothing you can point at and say that's that.
There's weird things that
there's
could.
There's tons of weird stuff, but I think that people. Right. History yeah. is weird.
Absolutely. Like but, the Uparts we find.
Yeah.
Like, how do you explain some of that stuff? Where does it fall in the timeline? I think the main thing is the timeline is just all. We've been taught.
The timeline's messed up.
And on purpose. Like, we've been. Led down a path of deception, and the timeline's probably a big part of it. It's just too easy. It's once you go, if you're not even looking in the right areas at the right time, you're not going to find anything. And so, you know what? Why don't you go back out in your backyard? Why don't you dig in your dirt? See what you uncover. Maybe if you dig down deep enough, hopefully not like mine shaft permit deep, but deep enough, you might uncover some mysteries. Maybe a culture. That does support your thoughts and ideas. I don't know. Just get out there and dig. Put your hands in the dirt. Put your nails to get dirty. You know, we're losing touch with nature. Get out in nature. Buy quail.
Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a TrueBolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals. Save big money.